Okay, we are in heavenly places, and this one's actually titled The Heavenly Election. So, and it's, of course, dated January 23rd. If you have the book handy when you're listening to this recording, go to page 29. Starts off with 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. It says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." In other words, stay on the path, do what he tells you to do, kind of a thing, you know. She goes on to say that this is the only election regarding which the Bible speaks. Fallen in sin, we may become partakers of the divine nature, even though everybody on the earth says you can't become perfect. You can get bumper stickers like that, right? And that's more or less how I started the Age of Lying sermon series, more or less, where lie becomes truth. I touched on that bumper sticker. I mean, that bumper sticker just stuck in my mind when I saw that one day. And I kind of liked it when I saw, I was a Sunday keeper back then. I thought, well, it's pretty, good, Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. Then later on, when I started really getting into the Word, I started to realize this, wow, they're lying. So anyway, she says, "Fallen and said, we may become partakers of the divine nature and attain to a knowledge far in advance of any scientific learning. By partaking of the flesh and the blood of our crucified Lord, we shall gain life eternal." In the 6th of John, we read, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life," John 6:54. And not too many verses later, a lot of people left it because they just couldn't understand this. But if you notice what Rome did with it, and they built their transubstantiation doctrine around it, where they actually say that the bread becomes Jesus Christ incarnate, and even if you're a child molesting priest, he has to bow to your demand to come out of heaven and get in that cookie. But if you notice, when the Pope stepped, John Paul II, their favored Pope, the one they just made a saint, when he stepped off of his little throne, when a 19-year-old girl was obviously being thrashed around in the first pew, the front pew of his Sede Augustoria, she started bouncing around like a fish out of water, speaking in these cavernous tongues, and the head exorcist came down and tried to cast the demon out of her. He got knocked around like a rag doll. Pope John Paul II comes out, and the thing starts laughing at him. He couldn't do thing one. You know what that means? Satan is strong. Jesus is a wimp. According to them, of course. And why I say that is because even if a child molesting priest says, "Jesus, get out of heaven, get in this cookie," he has to do it. But if the same child molesting priest walks up to a demon-possessed 19-year-old girl, the demon wins every time. So going on, it says, "It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And Jesus, of course, said that a few verses later, verse 63, John chapter 6. So she says, "None need lose eternal life. Everyone who chooses daily to learn of the heavenly teacher will make his calling and election sure. Let us humble our hearts before God and follow on to know him who to know aright is life eternal." I believe this is also one of the reasons she wrote the book Desire of Ages. If you ever want to know Jesus, I mean, really in depth, and that is the next book we're going to go into, by the way. If you ever want to know Jesus, read Desire of Ages. It's the biggest book she ever wrote. There's a reason for that. Yeah. She goes on. And again, 2 Peter chapter 1, but this time verses 10 and 11. And she says, well, she quotes, "Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here are your life insurance papers," she says. "This is not an insurance policy, the value of which someone else will receive after your death. It is a policy that assures you a life measuring with the life of God, even eternal life." Oh, and I praise God for this too, because I used to sell life insurance. I'm talking about, showing people how to make money after they die for their families. When I was selling that, now it's the other way around. I'm trying to educate people on how to continue living after you die. Because if you're hellbound, you will not continue to live after you die. I mean, you'll live for a little while, but then, of course, that fire will snuff your life out for eternity. You will not be alive. That's why the Lord says he is the God of the living. But Rome will twist that and say, look, you never die. Soul never dies. You're floating on a cloud strumming a harp. He's the God of the living. This is why you can pray to Mary. You can pray to Stanislaus. You can pray to Anthony. Because he's the God of the living. No, he meant he's the God of the living, so that when it's all said and done at the executive judgment, when the fire comes from below and from above and destroys all the wicked, and they're dead for all eternity, those in the city that watched all that go down are still alive. He's their God. That's what he meant. So going on, it says, oh, what an assurance, what a hope. Let us ever reveal to the world that we are seeking for a better country, even a heavenly. Amen. Heaven has been made for us. Oh, and that's another good point, too, by the way, a lot of people miss. It even says that the hellfire is reserved unto Satan and his angels. Well, yeah, it's true that a lot of man and mankind and, well, men and women want to jump in that fire, too. But what is reserved for mankind, though? I mean, it's obvious Satan has hellfire reserved unto him. Mankind has a mansion reserved unto him. But for some strange reason, and here's what's really, really ironic. The majority of the people that live in mansions now, before going to heaven, are the ones that jump in the fire. Because they get their mansion now. You know, which is so odd. It says, okay, well, okay, that's all well and good. You think it's great. You live to be 80, 85, even 90 years old. You're just dripping with wealth. But think about this. If you were allowed to think about this a trillion years from now, that 80 years, actually 60 probably, because you didn't start making your money until your 20s, let's say. Let's say if you made them in your 30s. A whopping 50 years of wealth is what you chose over an eternity of not even have to worry about money, where wealth isn't even considered because everybody has everything they need, where only the rich down here have it. Well, so they think. So again, heaven was made for us, and we want a part in it. We cannot afford to allow anything to separate us from God and heaven. In this life, we must be partakers of the divine nature. Brethren and sisters, you only have one life to live. And that's including those that believe in reincarnation, you know. You don't come back as a fly on a wall. You don't come back as a horse in a stall. I mean, you don't. It's, you got one life to live. That's it. And the only way that those little kids, like, because I remember reading about this, oh man, probably 15, 20 years ago. And when I first read it, I thought, well, that's convincing evidence to me that you have life after death. But I thought, but reincarnation don't make sense because it's not in the Bible. I wasn't a Christian yet, though, so it had to been more than 15 or 20 years ago. He goes, yeah, I think I was a Catholic at the time I read about that little kid. He was 14 or 15 years old when he finally was able to convince his parents to take it to some little village in Africa. They couldn't for the life of them figure out why, but they had money. And they, you know, bowed to the desires of their children just like most rich folk do. You know, just silver spoon in the mouth, kid's born, the whole nine yards, right? So he goes, you know, the parents bring him to this little village in Africa. Oh, yeah, I do remember this now because even as a Catholic, I thought, well, then it has to be a demon. Or maybe I was just after I left the Catholic Church. Because I don't think, I know I wasn't a Sabbath keeper. So maybe I was a Christian, but I was a Sunday keeper. And I thought it was okay to be Sunday keeping. But anyway, this kid starts walking down the road in this little village, and he's describing the sights. Even before he turns the corner, he says, you're going to see this, you're going to see that. And he starts naming the people by name, and he's never met any of these people. And he says, oh, this proves beyond a shadow of a doubt. And India ran with this wild, you know how India is when it comes to reincarnation, right? And so they ran with this left and right. It was in all the, I remember because it ended up in Time magazine, and it was like all over the place. And I thought, won't you people get it? The demon that was in the little kid that died in that village 10 years before this kid was born is now in this kid that's walking through this little town, possessing this kid and just telling him to say the things that he saw when he was walking through that village 10 years prior. But nobody thinks of that stuff. I mean, it's just like with what they call the insane asylums. You walk in there, and I saw this one woman come up to, you know, top of her finger missing. And I was with Pastor Russ. We walk in there, and she comes running up to me, teacher, teach me, you know, whatever. She's calling me teacher. And I was just starting out as a Christian. And Pastor Russ stops her, and we're both talking to her, and because he stopped her, he wanted to know what was going on because he's holding a Bible. And we're talking back and forth, and we say, "Why? What's wrong with your finger?" Because it was all wrapped up, and it was stumped. You could tell there was a big part of it missing. And she goes, "Well, my finger was bitten off." "Really? Are you? Whoa! That don't sound like." Says, "Yeah, they told me to bite it off." "What?" He says, "Yeah, they told me to bite my finger off, so I did." I says, "Who told you to bite your finger off?" She goes, "The heads that come out of the walls." Now, picture this. You're in an insane asylum. You think they're going to believe her that those are demons? No. They're going to think she's hallucinating from the drugs. That's today's world. A lot of people are out there possessed, but they're taking all sorts of these, you know, psychotropic drugs to calm down the demons or whatever the case may be. You wouldn't believe. There's a lot more people out there with demonic issues than the world will let on. But they won't call it demon possession. They'll call it manic depressive, schizophrenic, whatever the case may be. Yeah, or just plain call it Big Pharma. There you go. Because that Big Pharma has a lot to do with it too. A lot of these psychotropic drugs open the doors wide open for them demons to come in. You give them, you pop that stuff in your body, you're giving them permission to come in. You know. So, anyway, she goes on. "You only have one life to live," and she says, "Oh, let it be a life of virtue, a life hid with Christ and God. Unitedly, we are to help one another gain perfection of character." And this is ever so true in the house, in the homes. And even though sometimes it's difficult, especially after many years of not being Christians, some of us have, you know, a lot of burned bridges and a lot of baggage. Let's just put it that way, that we have to clean up. But still, you got to try to the best of your ability. Just, you know, reflect Christ as well as you can. But as a church family, this is why Jesus penned Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17 as well, by the way. You know, and so we do on occasion get some church members in trouble. You know, we don't do it. I mean, we do realize that we have some sisters or brothers in trouble. At presently, we do have some now that have been pulled away. But it's because of certain obedience issues as well as permission issues of allow Satan free access. But still, our duty is to go forward to the best of our ability if we can approach and do the Matthew 18 thing. This is why it was penned. And it's very important that we do this because Ezekiel also goes into pretty good detail as to what happens if you don't do it. You know, if they fall into the pit and you didn't do anything about it, it's your fault. Their blood's going to be required at your hand. But do it with kid gloves. Do it as gentle as you possibly can. And I'm not talking about doing this to every, you know, Molary and Curly that comes up from the road, because Sam Bell's going to be popping out of every bush he can to try and slow you down so that the genuine Christian who's in trouble, that needs some iron sharpening from you, because iron sharpeneth iron, is not going to be approached by you because you're busy handling some Sam Ballot dude, you know? So, or some Sam Ballot issue. So anyway, finishing, to this end, we are all to cease criticism. Onward and still onward, we may advance towards perfection, until at least there will be ministered unto us abundant entrance into the heavenly kingdom. And this is why we, as a church family, get attacked on a regular basis. We are a threat as his bride, not as individuals, even though we are attacked individually, because Satan sees each and every one of us as a threat individually. But we're also a family. And this is why he comes at us as a family and as individuals. You know, divide and conquer. There's a reason we're together. And he don't like that. So he's doing everything he can to split us up. And he has been doing it. And he's you know, but still, we understand the shaking. If there are people that come in our number and aren't serious about their walk with Christ, well, yeah, they're not going to be around long. There's nothing you can do about that, though. You could plant seeds, and Titus 3:10 said you got two tries. If your methods don't work, don't worry about it. The Lord's going to send somebody else. Get busy, go to the next one. Anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.